Hello, and welcome to the Daft Runners podcast. I'm Alex, and this is the show where my friend Jamie and I document our endeavours to take part in, and hopefully complete, running, or mostly running events, and try not to take ourselves too seriously in the process. This is episode 2, where we'll be picking up where we left off in our 2019 planning. Last time we were looking at some events right at the start of the year that would take us to the wilds of Essex, competing the 10K Trials of Elizabeth, or maybe not, and almost certainly avoid bullet ants in Costa Rica. If you haven't heard that episode yet, then it probably makes sense that you go back and start there, but you know, who am I to tell you how to live your life? All I can do is say, welcome to the show. Today we'll be looking to complete a couple of races in Scotland, and also some way past daft trials that will be undertaken by people that are thankfully not us. So yeah, let's jump right back in and I'll catch you on the other side. So then we're on to one we're actually going to do, 100%. And it's the mighty Deerstalker. I'm very much looking forward to it after it was cancelled last year. I think that's the only time I've genuinely been gutted about a cancelled event. Because half the time, you know, your counselors, I didn't really want to do that anyway. Oh, thank God, I didn't have to hang out with those people.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah. I mean, I was generally gutted that we weren't doing this. It was one of those things where it was like, how many updates come through every day? We are going to try and keep it on, just make it harder, make it more tougher. Yeah, oh, actually, God, it's a bit hard. It's going to be a bit hard.
Yeah, people might die.
Yeah. Yeah, which...
I mean, it's quite an interesting thing from event management's perspective, because they've got everything loaded on people turning up, because they don't want a refund. They've got this huge cap in the cost they've sunk in. It's almost like they must have had to have, you know. I imagine it's probably because they couldn't get equipment.
If memory serves, I think it was something to do with the mountain rescue, because they were unable to provide or giving warnings on, like... Because I think actually maybe it wasn't a case of they were saying they were unable to necessarily support it, but it's more a case of they would have to also be supporting all the other stuff that's going on because of the terrible weather, and therefore it's kind of doesn't make sense for them to take their resources. I think that was the...
I mean, yeah, it's absolutely fair enough, isn't it? Yeah. Absolutely fair enough. So I approve the decision. And to be honest with you, I probably wasn't very fit at that point in time as well. So 2018, Jamie was very happy inside about not... I'm looking forward to it. So this should be
definitely
good fun. Yeah.
Most definitely. I think for that one, it's a really good way to start the season. And I think actually it was kind of offset my rhythm a bit, because after the Mighty Deerstalker last year, we didn't really do anything until Man vs. Coast, which is in July. So there's like 4 month gap. Whereas when you have that race there, because it's quite a bit of fun. It's not too long. It's challenging because there's lots of hills. So it really sets you up at the start, because it's kind of, oh, you've got to have this challenge about hill running and the rest. It's quite long, and it lets you kind of gauge your level of fitness. I'm like, okay, actually, that 60 miles or however long it was really challenging. I probably need to do a bit more work. And it kind of sets you up for that roll into training, whereas missing that last year really, I think, hurt me a bit.
Yeah, I'd agree. When I think of this race, I think hills, and then more hills. And I actually, this race in 2017, I wore non-trail shoes. I wore trainers. Just road running trainers. So I spent a huge amount of time slipping and careering down hills. So I was actually quite looking forward to having proper trainers and not falling over all the time. And also, this was one of the funniest things of last year, was running along in this kind of pitch black wilderness, mountainous country. It's cold, it's in Scotland, you know, all things you should be worried about. And then you go across this really strange scene of somebody set this disco DJ up.
Oh yeah,
got this kind of dance techno music pumping out.
Yeah,
and this is it's quite surreal. It's you know, some interesting moments or kind of small kind of images are stuck in my mind of having run up a massive hill and being really tired, and then suddenly having a little bit of a boogie.
So, yeah, I remember him sort of careering past us at a number of points, waiting for some friends to catch up whilst dancing at the bottom of a hill, and then legging it on for a bit longer. Yeah, that was definitely a good atmosphere there. And the number of people who started the race wearing tweed jackets and everything, but finished somehow mysteriously, their tweed jackets disappeared.
Yeah, it was unseasonably warm to previous editions, yeah. No, I don't know. Are we going to tweed it? Are we going to tweed this year?
I don't think I want to. But maybe I could be convinced, especially if it's a bit chilly still. I mean, that's a challenge, and it's like, actually, even wearing thermal long sleeves, I find that really frustrating after a little while. and need to ditch those, let alone a heavy tweed jacket. But no, I could be convinced.
So tweed could be the new running material, the next gen running material for cold weather running.
Breathable tweed. Breathable tweed. That's the product idea right there.
Yeah.
If it's gonna make any material breathable, it would be tweed. Yeah. So that's the Mighty Deerstalker. Definitely going to do it. Definitely going to make sure I have the right shoes. And going to, you know, dance to the weather gods to make sure that it's actually goes ahead this year and isn't pulled off, hopefully. Great. Now, onto one which we've talked about a few times.
I'm just putting it out there. I think we should do it. I think we should do all of them.
Yeah? Tour of Iran.
So it's a 2-day off-road running adventure on the Isle of Arran.
Which has whiskey. Okay.
So I think it's going to be one day of running and then the other day is where you drink all the whiskey. That's how I'd set a race up. Why would you not? You rack up 60 miles with some serious vertical gain. It's got some artisan cheese as well. And a lovely ambience.
That's the island, presumably, not the race. It's not that they're bringing artisanal cheese up to the Isle of Arran specifically for this race. That cheese is already present at the Isle of Arran.
Yes. Yeah, you point. We won't be running past the cheese. Okay. I imagine it's not going to be a run and then, cheese, and then carry on running. So I don't know. So 2 days, so 60 miles, 2 days. I think that's split across both days.
Yeah. Okay, so 60 miles over 2 days. That's 30 miles a day.
Yeah.
Yes, about 50k a day.
Yeah, they do lie, don't they? So,
yeah, 100%.
So no offence to Rat Race indeed. No, it's probably true of quite a few races, but I mean, they are very liberal with their race. I think there's a company policy. Yeah, this is a challenge. Yeah, this is supposed to kind of push you to your limit. Yeah, it's not about the mileage that you're doing. It's about kind of pushing yourself as much as hard as you can. But I mean, from my perspective, I just want to know. I just want to know. How many miles?
I think from their perspective, it builds into the mental game. Mm. You know, like you were saying, it's the hardest challenge. And you have to pile that challenge on your mind. and understanding the complex maths that has to go into getting from 3 kilometres out to 4 kilometres out.
But so many times it's been, I've just got 1 mile left, and it turns out, 2 hours later,
yeah,
I'm still running. I'm pretty slow, but I'm not that slow.
Yeah, maybe it's just especially communication between the people who are the marshals. Mm. Kind of, because every time it's kind of like, oh, that's only a little while ago, maybe another mile or so. And then, 40 minutes later, you're still running. And it's like, well, I know I'm not the fastest runner in the world, but I'm pretty sure within 40 minutes I could cover a mile. And I'm not there. And there's no more signs. There's nothing.
Just bitterness and regret.
Yeah.
And exactly. No artisan cheese.
No artisanal cheese to be found. But, yes, these guys, Rat Race aren't the only ones guilty of this. There are plenty of event companies and I've run on that are a little loose with their mileage. But, I mean, I think that's just to piss off people who come to the end of the races and are like, I did this marathon. It's 25.9 instead of 26.2 miles. I think that's a bit of a problem. I think I've been missold. Mm-hmm. It's artificially lowered my PB. If I could have a beer, mate.
I'm sure I actually said that to you. We have a different approach in terms of philosophy, running philosophy. But yeah, this is good. This is all good.
Yeah. But I mean, to be fair, if you're trying to run 26 miles the fastest you can, you're probably not going to run one of these races. They're not particularly fast, especially if you've got to wait in a queue to jump off a piece of plyboard into a lake.
Yeah.
Maybe your time's not going to be the best on this particular course.
Yeah, queuing sucks. But that makes me think we should always get first priority running. Mm. I think we should pay, even if it's £5-10. So if we're doing it, I think we should pay to go in the first wave. I think whatever it is.
Especially as, if we're going to be doing every single race, especially when you get to the end where you're going to hit a lot of the queuing ones, actually apart from the Dirty Weekend, which is actually the next one we'll probably talk about in detail, so I won't go talk about that too much, but you kind of have a lot of queues later on, so you'll be super fit, so you'll be worthy of that first wave.
Nice.
How that works.
So, Ultra Tour Iran, what are you thinking? So, I mean, whiskey, cheese, history, lovely ambiance, mountains are high, the glens deep, the forest enchanting, and the coastal scenery stunning.
Is that their words or is that yours?
Oh, I came up with that straight. These are very much their words.
From a lot of terrain, sounds good. Distance, worrying, especially in 4 months.
when, you know, it is Christmas time. And then we've got January drinks. And then suddenly you're hitting Easter.
So January drinks are the best drinks. Yeah. I think I need to clean up my act, but actually no, you're just not pushing hard enough. You need to go more.
I need to clean out my cellar.
I've seen your cellar, you definitely need some help.
Yeah, so 4 months to cover to be able to run a 60 miler.
So there is a day gap, isn't there? There's a day gap, so you do get some rest time.
Yeah, but is that always the best? I mean, especially like now, I mean, back in the day, I used to be a lot better at being able to extreme exercise day after day. Whereas now I run one day, but I'm a bit sore, a bit of the DOMS. I get that a lot more nowadays. I think it's just general level of fitness, but maybe after 4 months I'll be totally nailing it.
So this is a maybe, I think.
The other point is actually the travel up there. I mean, I have no idea how we would get up there. Yeah, so maybe if there's a few of us driving it, or if we have to fly up and then get a rental car, it's an island, right? So is the airport even on the island? I imagine there's a ferry.
It's a 55-minute ferry crossing.
55-minute on a ferry? Ooh.
Will we have to camp? I think we'll have to camp.
I think there's a camp stage, yeah.
Okay. All right, so definitely maybe.
It's definite maybe.
Definitely maybe.
It's always on the maybe camp. So 8 days of Madness Ultra, which is 450 miles. 2 weeks after that, if I'm worrying about 60 miles, there's no way I'm doing 450. So yeah, with that, Adam.
I think we need to work our way up to that kind of stuff if we're going to do it. Yeah. So I think so this is again daft running, not kind of being really stupid running and getting injured and then.
Where is the 8 days of Madness Ultra?
Shall I contact my?
Actually, I can do the link.
Ooh, you're so organised. It's amazing.
Click, click. I thought I said 8 days suffer in the URL. So this is 8ultra.co.uk.
So this is actually Adam doing his own event. So he's...
I see.
So this, awesome. Is, this is something he's doing with... he did a few years ago, actually. We're going from Ben Nevis up in Scotland via Scarfell Pike and then finally Snowdon and running it rather than driving.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Wow, check out the web design on here.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Yeah, I don't think Adam did this. Sorry.
So Nick Bloyd did that, so well done, Nick. Found his name on the website. Supporting young people to fulfil their potential. Excellent. So, go to 8ultra.co.uk and encourage you to sponsor this, because it looks bloody hard. So, yeah, there's Madness ones like those. The kind of Decca Ironmans.
Oh, God, these? Yeah.
No. Just no. Yeah, maybe we'll have a particular segment on that, I guess. Cool, so then we were on to the Dirty Weekend, which I believe I've definitely said no to this year. After seeing the waves, actually, that are already booked up. Although you're saying you want to do every one.
I think we should do everything.
But, God damn it. But, Jamie, no.
No, Jamie.
Not the Dirty Weekend. Fine, you're going to do the double mucker? 40 miles of obstacles?
I think once is probably enough. I think we do it once and we front road at the start, get around there, then kind of, in my mind, that's done.
Okay. Well, if you're at the front, at least there's no queues. Mm-hmm. They still have the world longest monkey bars.
So this was at a point in time, when we did last, was in 2014, and I think I'd exercised for previous races and I'd managed to do monkey bars quite well. I was very proud of myself. So I got to this point in time, and I thought. And so this is always a risk when your body lets you down if you don't push it all the time. So as soon as I thought I've done monkey bars forever, I didn't train for it. I then tried to do monkey bars, and completely abjectly failed. I didn't even get past the first section in this. So obviously I got to see Alex do how many 100 meters of monkey bars or something.
I did not complete the whole thing. Mm. Full disclosure. I had to stop because my hands were so ruined. So I don't know if you remember, but essentially there was a water challenge right before the monkey bars. I had no gloves for this particular race. I don't tend to wear gloves a lot, but I do have some now. Again, Rat Race gloves, very, very good quality.
Welcome, Rat Race.
But, I would definitely wear them this time, I think. But, yeah, with coming out of the water and then going on the monkey bars, which are pure, I guess it's steel, but no grip on it at all. They're just completely smooth. So my hands were completely just getting torn to shreds on these things between the water, friction, and swinging for such a distance. I think I got quite far.
I remember you being further along than most people.
That was before my surgery as well, so I think I had a bit stronger ability to hold myself up. So yes, that was painful, really painful. I had to let go. And that's all I have to say about that. And the rest of it, only thing I really remember from the rest of it was the queuing. Absolute monstrous queues. But if we're in the first wave, then that shouldn't be a worry. Yeah, and it's relatively close by as well. Burghley House, is it?
I think so, yeah. So if we investigate this one, again, 20-mile obstacle course, you know, usual rat race kind of features, big party afterwards, I think we can have a good time. And there'll be some interesting stories. And I think we should take our GoPro onto this one as well.
Yeah, this would be a good GoPro event.
Yeah.
There'll be lots of stuff happening.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I know. By the time we've conquered the Tour of Aran? That's not as Aran. That's, I don't know. Whatever, however you say it.
I think one of those is right. One of them.
Yeah, exactly. Just keep saying it in various tone, and I'll just edit out the ones that are wrong.
Iran.
So we're doing a tour of Iran. God damn it!
We've got lots of hits from the Middle East on our podcast. They've been disowned.
If we're fine doing 60 miles out, then the 20-mile dirty weekend, I'll be blasting through it. There we go. That's the dirty weekend.
Hey me, I'm going to stop me again here. As you may be able to tell, there's quite a lot left to go through. The years are quite long and we're still fairly close to the start. I mean, we're getting to May, I guess, with the dirty weekend. But, I mean, we're pretty much out of time here today. But I hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you are interested in supporting the team that will be attempting to complete that 450-mile event covering the three peaks in the UK, the 8 Days of Madness, please do check out the 8ultra.co.uk website. That's the number 8, ULTRA.co.uk. And the funds that are going to be raised from that are going to be going to the Great Ormond Street Hospital and the Prince's Trust, so a great cause. And an incredibly challenging event. Now, we'll be back soon with the next episode, where we'll continue the discussion around our planning as we look at events further afield in Europe. And we'll keep things interesting as well by talking about swimming as kind of a separate topic. I mean, we're Dartford runners who don't know the meaning of a single discipline event, or even actually the meaning of discipline. That's probably why we're so underprepared for these races. We hope you'll be tuning in next time. And as always, if you'd like to get in touch, please do drop us a mail at podcast@daftrunners.com. Ta-ta for now.